welcome to This Green Earth. I'm Claire Wiley, and joining me now is Axie Navas, who serves as the Director of Designation Campaigns for the Wilderness Society. Axie, thank you so much for being a part of This Green Earth today.
Thanks for having me, Claire.
Well, we are thrilled to have you here. First, let's chat about your organization, the Wilderness Society, and share with us the why and how this organization began.
Yeah, the quick top line. So the Wilderness Society has been working for 90 plus years to unite people across the country to protect America's wild places and public lands. We believe that these are shared places and we want to preserve our access to these incredible landscapes and make sure that we hand them down intact to future generations.
I didn't realize it had been around for that long. That's incredible. So you do have quite a history there. Before we get into the history of the organization and some of those protections that it helps with, how did you get involved with the organization and what was your journey that brought you there?
Yeah, I've had a little bit of a peripatetic career path. I started in journalism. So throughout my 20s, I worked at Outside Magazine, where I primarily worked on the digital side of things, telling stories about public lands, about the people who live there, work there, recreate on them, obviously through that Outside Magazine lens. After that, I went to work for Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham as her founding director of outdoor recreation. So both of those experiences combined, I think, shape my perspective a bit, that I come at this conservation world a bit from that outdoor recreation angle. And then the economic development frame is always something I'm thinking about too, how important these places are to communities throughout the U.S., rural communities in particular, in New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Arizona, throughout the Southwest and the country as a whole, when it comes to making sure people have good jobs and steady economic income. And I think that these protected public lands, that often goes hand in hand.
What are some projects in particular that you've been involved with that really stand out to you?
You know, the best projects I've ever worked on at the Wilderness Society are the ones that are just powered by local communities. And I think there's a number of monuments that are representative of that. But I'll give one example outside of the monuments world. We worked on a refuge campaign in Arizona, the Santa Cruz Urban National Wildlife Refuge campaign. And the vision was to protect the Santa Cruz River, which runs through the heart of Tucson, in perpetuity, to acknowledge the millennia of stewardship that river has by indigenous people, the Tohono O'odham Nation, and other native tribes of the area, and also just how important it is now to the city and residents of Tucson. So that was really interesting wildlife refuge work that I was able to work on at the Wilderness Society. It is very much on pause now as folks have come to the table, all hands on deck, in defense of our public lands. No, we're going to talk about the Southern Utah monuments today, but of course, that's part of a broader dismantling of our public land system.
From your perspective, can you walk us through how our nation's wild areas and public lands have been historically stewarded and show us some examples of how this has been beneficial to the area, to the people, and rippling out into other parts of our nation?
Well, fundamentally, all the public land that we're talking about, it's all been tribal land since time immemorial. We're talking about an interconnected indigenous homeland. So I think that's the grounds from where I began. That's what I think about as we then start to talk about how they've been stewarded. They've been stewarded by tribal nations for millennia since time immemorial. If we look at Utah's Southern Red Rock Country in particular, where Grand Staircase Escalante and Bears Ears National Monuments are located, this has been national public land since the mid-1800s. It's never been Utah state land, despite, I think, some of the messaging coming from some Utah officials. This has been national public land for a long time. And again, I think our perspective as the Wilderness Society is that America's public lands belong to the American people, not to mining and drilling interests. And that's primarily what we're concerned about. That's primarily what we're fighting against when it comes to this wholesale dismantling of the federal and national public land system.
So, what do you think that we have done that is particularly right in the preservation of our public lands? And what do you think are some of the areas that we really need to look at and maybe change perspective on?
I think one thing we've done really right, we can use the Bears Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monuments as an example, is I think that there's historically those have been set up beautifully where you have proclamation language overlaid on top of the national public land system that recognizes tribal sovereignty, that recognizes that living, interconnected indigenous homeland, that recognizes the hundreds of thousands of ancestral cultural sites preserved within that area, and says simply, this is one of our most precious places. We, as a country, are going to honor that. We are going to respect it. We are going to think about this land as protected in perpetuity for our children and children's children. I think that's what we get right. Obviously, when an administration comes in and attempts to slash those boundaries with no tribal consultation, no public input, that's when things go really wrong. That's when things go haywire.
Yeah, so let's get into the role that the Wilderness Society is playing now in fighting the reduction of our national monuments and what is exactly happening right now that could be detrimental, not only in this moment, but for years to come.
Well, maybe I'll start with that last point. And, I think fundamentally, just a week ago, we saw President Trump sign a pair of proclamations that attempt to virtually abolish these national monuments, these places that we as Americans have said, these are our most special landscapes. Let's not drill and mine in them. Let's set them aside for to honor tribal sovereignty and for public use, not for drilling and mining interests. So I think those proclamations, again, as we spoke about, is where it goes really, really wrong. And I think one vital part to lift up from those proclamations is the fact that they just fundamentally disregard tribal leadership and tribal sovereignty. They, and to use the language of the proclamation, terminate the longstanding groundbreaking Bears Ears Commission and effectively erase the co-stewardship framework within Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. So taken together, again, it's just a real disregard to tribal nations, a real insult to tribal nations. And I think if that is how the federal government were to approach the stewards of these places in all the work that the federal government does on its public lands, that would be a catastrophe for the public land system. And so I think that's what the Wilderness Society is part of the coalition fighting back against that. And then, our role, I think one thing that makes the Wilderness Society special is that we have people based in state who work hand in hand with folks in DC, with comms teams, with legal minds, and you can bring together this connective tissue and bring to bear all these resources from across the country to follow the lead of communities fighting for these places that they have deemed so important. So that's certainly the case in Utah. I work really closely with our new state director in Utah, Charlie Luke. And then Charlie and I and others at the Wilderness Society work really closely with the tribal coalitions, Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition, Grand Staircase Escalante Intertribal Coalition, Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, Grand Canyon Trust, Grand Staircase Escalante Partners. The list goes on. I cite just a few of the leaders in that community to say, this is a community effort. The public loves these monuments. We are on the public side fighting to protect them.
What are some potential consequences that could happen should other interests come in and start building infrastructures on these sacred places?
Well, I think it's really important to start with what national monument protections do the president seems to be under the impression that national monuments mean you can no longer hike in these places. You can no longer hunt. You can't camp. You virtually can't even walk there. In fact, what these designations do is say that these are our most precious landscapes, full stop. They're vital to outdoor access. They preserve in perpetuity hunting access, the attendant wildlife habitat, places where we can hike and experience nature and refuge. They do all of this. You can access these lands as the public when they are national monuments. When they are not national monuments, it opens them back up to mining and drilling. And that's where you can't walk, right? You can't walk in a mine. You can't walk near an active oil field. And so this is where these protections are so vital, is to make sure that these lands are protected in perpetuity for the American public. And that's really what you risk when monument designations, when an administration attempts to roll back a monument designation. We've talked about how this is an interconnected indigenous homeland, right? And before Trump's proclamations on Monday, which attempted to slash over 3 million acres from these monuments combined, you know, you're looking at monuments that are large scale for a reason. They are protecting a huge number of cultural archaeological values. There's also, as you're saying, this massive vital ecosystem that they protect, and that interconnectivity is so important when you're talking about overall ecosystem and species health. So that's a key part of this. It's a key part of what monument designations really get right, is that protection of wildlife habitat and outdoor access, you know, built upon that acknowledgement and that deep acknowledgement of tribal stewardship of these places.
Mm-hmm. We can't lose touch of the fact that we are not sitting on our world, but we're a part of it. We're a part of the natural world, and we, I think, innately have a connection to that. And when we hurt these areas or destroy our natural places, I feel like we're destroying pieces of our humanity and pieces of us as we do. And like you said, this has been ancestral land, and it has been stewarded as such, and it has been protected, and it has been loved. And it seems hard to fathom that we would go in there and destroy any of that. So I do appreciate you coming on the show today. I am talking with Axie Navas, who serves as the Director of Designation Campaigns for the Wilderness Society. If people wanted to learn more about your organization, where would they go? Is there a website or other places that you are that people can get involved with?
Yeah, we have a website at tws.org. You can also find us on all the social accounts. Hope you follow us there. And I want to make sure we talk about these places in the present tense. They are stewarded. They are loved. That will continue no matter what in Utah. That will endure.
Well said. Well, thank you so much, Axie. And we will go to tws.org to learn more about the Wilderness Society. And we hope you'll join us again.
Thank you, Claire.
Thanks for listening to This Green Earth.
If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your ideas and topics, your storylines. It's thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
You can also find us wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like the show and you learned something new, make sure you leave a review. And we'd appreciate it if you click 5 stars.